This is 5 Gospel Minutes of the International Gospel Hour, presented by Churches of Christ and individual Christians promoting New Testament Christianity. Your speaker is Winfred Claiborne of Fayetteville, Tennessee.
Thank you very much. Many prominent academicians, politicians, media personnel, and even theologians deny the existence of absolute truth or a fallible man's ability to know absolute truth. The book, The Open End of Christian Morals, by Wesley C. Baker, a Presbyterian preacher from California, asserts, "There is no such thing as a morally defensible position," page 29. Baker further argues, "There are no absolutes, no unbreakable ground rules, no qualifying principles," page 29. I have just watched a television program showing the tragedy of the massacre in Bemidji, Minnesota. A 17-year-old boy shot and killed his grandfather and 9 other people. Others may die from gunshot wounds inflicted on them. Would Wesley Baker defend the boy's actions as not being absolutely wrong? Is honoring human life a morally defensible position? The Scriptures make absolutely no sense if truth does not exist, or if men cannot know it. Almost every book of the Bible specifically mentions truth. The writings of John constantly emphasize truth. The words of Jesus Christ in John 8:32 are probably the best known assessment of truth. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." John's first epistle uses the word truth 9 times. I shall concentrate today on one verse from 1 John. "I have not written unto you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth." 1 John 2:21. John addressed his first letter to members of the body of Christ. Those members had known the truth about salvation, or they could not have become Christians. They had learned the truth that makes men free. They were enjoying the salvation that is in Christ Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. John's purpose in writing to those Christians was to enforce and strengthen the truth they already knew. He wanted them to remember, no lie is of the truth. When men invent their own religion, they are lying, whatever their motivation. The Apostle John plainly warns about false teachers, all of whom are liars. He was deeply troubled about the antichrists that were having some influence among the churches. "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that antichrist shall come, even now are there many antichrists, whereby we know it is the last time." 1 John 2:18. John urged his readers to remember that many deceivers are in the world. 2 John 7. "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." 1 John 4:1. John was concerned that all Christians be alert to lies that were being promoted by various false teachers. I am fully aware that most people in our world resent preaching that identifies false teachers. But our preaching must conform to that of the greatest preachers of all time, the prophets of the Old Testament, John the Baptist, Jesus Christ, and the apostles. Imitating Dr. Norman Vincent Peale or Dr. Robert Schuller will not result in opposing soul-condemning error and in preaching the whole counsel of God. If we are concerned about maintaining the purity and faithfulness of the New Testament church, we have no choice about what we preach. Paul urged the elders at Ephesus to take care of their own lives and to guard the church under their care. He told them, "For I know this, that after my departing, grievous wolves shall enter in among you, not sparing the flock." He then charged them to watch carefully for those false teachers, that they would not lead God's people astray. Thank you for listening today, and may God richly bless you.